Thank you, Danny, for that introduction. I feel humbled. Thank you very much. Let's take a minute to pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you are present here among us, Father. Father, I want to thank you especially for your word, for your written word, because you continue to use it to reveal yourself to us. If everything fails, Father, we can always go to your word, Lord, and we can find you, and you truly speak to us, Father. So I pray that the words of my mouth this morning, Father, and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable to you, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So with that in mind, let's turn all to Psalms, Psalms 6. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, so many of you maybe have the NIV or maybe Van Dyke. I don't know. Does anyone have it? I don't know. But I'm reading from the Common English Bible. I like that translation. It says, "Please, Lord, don't punish me when you are angry. Do not discipline me when you are furious. Have mercy on me, Lord, because I am frail. Heal me, Lord, because my bones are shaking in terror. My whole body is completely terrified. But you, Lord, how long will this last? Come back to me, Lord. Deliver me, save me from the sack of your faithful, for the sake of your faithful love." I typed it wrong. "No one is going to praise you when they are dead. Who gives you thanks from the grave? I am worn out from groaning every night. Every night I drench my bed with tears. I soak my couch all the way through. My vision fails because of my grief. It's weak because of all my distress. Get away from me, all you evildoers, because the Lord has heard my crying. The Lord has listened to my request. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and completely terrified. They will be defeated and ashamed instantly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Are you familiar with the phrase, "I just can't"? I just can't. Are you familiar with that phrase? I learned it watching TV, of course. You know, that's where I got... No. I learned proper English in school, but, you know, TV does play a role in that. And I also learned it from young people. Well, people who are younger than I am. I'm not that old, but... I just can't. Sometimes they just say, "I just can't anymore." And there's different ways to say it. One of them even comes with an eye roll, you know, "I just can't," you know. My daughter even says that to me. She says it's in three different languages, you know. Darish, khalas, you know. And so she says it in Arabic, German, and English to me. I'm hoping she will not even learn the Hebrew version of it, so... And it, you know, later I came to understand it means I just can't take it anymore, or I can't deal with it anymore, or I can't deal with you anymore at this moment, and or I can't handle it anymore. But apparently, you know, these young people, they're so exhausted, they're so tired, they can't even continue the full sentence, you know. So sometimes I say, what you can't what? You can't play anymore? You can't have fun anymore? You know, so don't do that because that doesn't help, so... that's just me. So because they're so tired, they just say, "I just can't. I just can't." And the psalmist just can't anymore. We look at this psalm and I think for some of us, it's shocking. It's disturbing. It's not something you want to hear on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or, you know, anytime you have worship. Where are the happy psalms? Where are the hymns of praise? Give me some of those, you know. But here we have one of the many laments that talk about very troubling things, like a God who is angry. It talks about a writer who feels frail and is begging for mercy, begging for healing. His bones are shaking. His whole body is terrified. He begs the Lord to come back to him and saves him. He says that he is worn out from all of his groaning. He is crying so much he can't see well anymore. I'm sure some of us have went through. I know for sure I had that experience in my life where you can't see anymore. The psalmist just can't anymore. He is tired. He is weary. Is anybody weary here this morning? It's important for us to read this psalm, which in my opinion have been left out of much of the liturgical work that we do in the church. They are disturbing to us when we hear them. I can already feel the whole atmosphere in the room here just change when I read that psalm, right? They are disturbing to us. But it's important because they remind us that these feelings are appropriate. These feelings are appropriate. They are even appropriate to say to God. It's okay. I think we've been taught or we've been influenced over the year, or at least let me say I've been influenced over the year, that when you come to church, you're supposed to put on the happy face. How is everything going? Praise God, everything's good. You know? And because we're afraid, oh, he's not a strong believer. She's not a strong believer. How can he be so sad, you know? And that's why these psalms are important. The psalms are the prayer book of the prayer books of the early church. And they are there for a reason. They remind us that we are all weary, that it's okay to be honest with God and use language like this, that we can share our weariness with God and with one another. I've been thinking about a lot about what makes us weary. Now, for some of us, it's the day-to-day life, the repetition of it, you know. You put your children to sleep, you know, the parents here can empathize with me and those who were parents. You put your children to sleep and you look at them and you love them and you kiss them and then you think, oh, we have to do this all again tomorrow morning. You know, it's the day-to-day things. For some of us, it's perfectionism. To know more, to be better, to try harder. These are the three markers of perfectionism. Anyone grew up with those three? No more, do better. Work harder, be better. Not me, I'm telling you. I'm not a perfectionist, so I'm just kidding. And now the information age does not help anymore more with perfectionism, because now we have all this information. And any kind of problem we have, you know, if I get more information, I can fix it. And then we try harder, you know, no more, try harder, do better. So I need more information that I can fix my problem. Then I try harder, because if you do it, and if you do it well, you will get it, right? And that's what we were taught. You can make it happen. Some of us are very, very tired from trying. Growing up, this was my approach to changing my behavior. Danny told you that, you know, I grew up and my father passed away, and I grew up in, and I did not like some of the things I've picked up in the different boarding homes and, you know, the different friends. And when I came to Christ, I really wanted to change. And that was my approach to changing my life. Just try harder. And it wore me out. And finally, do better. If you try harder and it doesn't work, then just do better. You are not doing it the right way. Just keep trying. Do better. If trying hard doesn't work, then just do better. And this perfectionism, it can happen in our faith. can happen in our jobs, it can happen in our relationships. Sometimes it's life's battles that wear us out. It is something else. Life's battles, like health issues, they can be very tiring. If we are going through them, or if somebody we care about is going through them, right? They can be very, very tiring. Financial issues, they can be very tiring and keep us weary. Sometimes it's relational, friends, family. Loneliness and conflict can make us weary. Are you weary this morning? I know one person who is really tired this morning, my wife, Annabelle. She hates it when I say that, talk about her during my sermons, so that's why I do it. You know, she, our girl, youngest, she cried in the middle of the night, and she had a bad dream, and like a good husband, I woke up and I said, Annabelle, the girl is crying, and I went back to sleep. No, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. I woke up and I helped her and I gave her water. Then I went to sleep. And the next time she cried, Annabelle dealt with her. But, you know, she stayed up with her till 3 in the morning. So very glad for her and for the way she takes care of our family. But these things take their toll on us if they happen day after day after day, if you haven't slept for 3 or 4 days. Do you know that there are whole groups of people who are weary? Because of race, they're just tired. Because of gender, because of immigration status. I tell you that the whole Jewish community in the U.S. are very weary at the moment because of all the different things that are happening to them, right? They must be very, very tired. Christian community in Iraq, Syria, they're very weary. They are very weary. And some of us get weary because we are working hard to be different, but we keep being the same. And this takes its toll on us. It is very interesting for us to read the Psalms in the light of our weariness, because we always have to read the Bible within its social context and location. And then we have to think of our own social location and context. And it's important not to get both of them mixed up. For example, the writer of the psalm will often speak about an enemy, but the writer is speaking of a different kind of enemy. He means an enemy that will actually want to come and invade and take over and take the people captive. Now, most of us don't have enemies like that. So today we read this in a different way than the Christians in Iraq are reading this psalm, if they were reading it today, right? Because for them, they know that there is an enemy that wants to come and take them captive and destroy them and take away their lives. And for us, we look at it differently. But have you also noticed that when we are weary, we also and worn out, we also create our own enemies? Yeah? You know, the boss gives you a hard time at work. You come home, you give your spouse a hard time. The spouse, the parent, one of them, takes it out on the children. The children take it out on the dog. The dog takes it out on the cat, and the cat eats the hamster. So, right? Whenever we don't know how to deal with our frustration and tiredness and weariness, we project out to the world, to the people around us. Because we think it's going to make us feel better. You know, misery loves company. Yeah? So we'll just make somebody else. Well, I want to know that this person is tired and this person. I want the world to know how weary I am, and we just take it out on them. This even happens on a national level. We know that a country that is dealing with an economic depression, that is dealing with a national weariness, from that a leader can rise who then says, I can tell you what the problem is. I can tell you what the problem is. It's those Jews. And then we have the Holocaust. That is why weariness is so dangerous. In Iran, it's the same thing. People are tired and weary. And the leaders, they don't want the people to catch on to what's happening, what is causing all this weariness and tiredness and all of this this distress in the country. And they say, well, it's not me, it's not our leadership, it's not what we're doing, it's those people there. Let's destroy them, let's take care of them. It can happen on a national level. And there's many, many examples. Many countries around the world are blaming others for the weariness that the whole country is experiencing. Look, weariness is a very, very dangerous thing. And when it's linked with loneliness, it's even more dangerous. When we feel that we are all alone, weariness can work its dark magic on us. It's actually a lie. Let's go back to the psalm. He sounds all alone on his bed crying, but then he directs his words to one above it all. He doesn't keep it all to himself. No, he shows that he is never alone. Weariness works its dark magic when it convinces us that we are all alone. That's why human contact, Danny said that, is very important. And this is why I like to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, I like the word Hebrews also because it reminds me of coffee. Hebrews, you know, Hebrews coffee. I'm addicted to coffee. So that's one of the other reasons I like the book of Hebrews. It's more of the book is more of a sermon than it is a letter. And a very little known is about this, who wrote it. But I like Hebrews because it says, if you are weary, hang in there. If you are weary, hang in there. Listen to these words. And Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, who is that high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. That's not the kind of high priest we have. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, is anyone weary this morning? You have a high priest who understands. You have a high priest who cares. I'm going to ask now the parents here. Question, has any of your children ever locked themselves in the room? You know, you left the key inside the door. And then the child goes into the door or into the. Our daughter did it in the bathroom. She locked herself in the bathroom once, and we had to find a way that she will take the key out. She was very young, and take the key out and give it to us under the door that we can let her out again. And I know a story of another boy who locked himself in the room. It was in the U.S. where you have these buttons on the doors that you. You have different handles in the U.S., right? They're round, and there's a button right in the middle, and if you push that, the door is locked. And this, the mom, she puts her son to sleep, and the room is totally dark, and she's out in her living room working, and then she hears footsteps, and she realizes, oh, my son is awake, and so she runs, she tries to open the door, and the door is locked on the inside. And she knows the room is pitch black because she knows that her boy, if he sees any light, he wakes up. So the boy is freaking out and is crying. And he's trying, and you know, he's a very little one. He doesn't understand the instruction she's giving him. And he's crying and she wants to go away and he's yelling. And then she's back next to the door. And, you know, she's, son, just wiggle the door, move the door, do this, do that. And there's no response. She's trying to find her phone while staying close to the door. And she's in distress. And then, you know, she just calms down. She starts talking calmly to the boy. "Son, I'm here, I'm here. Can you hear me knocking?" And the boy says, "Yeah." Then she says, "Okay, go down on your knees and try and find the bottom of the door." So the little boy goes down on the knees and tries and falls. And then she says, "Put your fingers under the frame of the door." And there was about, an inch or 2 centimeters under the door, so the boy could put his fingers under there. And then the mom touches his fingers, and immediately the boy calms down. And he stops crying. And then she talks to him, and she says, "Sweetie, why don't you calm down? Why don't you try and lay down in here and just go to sleep?" And I can imagine, when I heard the story, the boy thinking, "Really, Mom? Really, Mom, right now? You think I'm going to sleep now?" But, he's just a little boy. He just said, "No." And then, she stayed there holding his finger until he calmed down. And then she told him, "Well, son, why don't you wiggle the door? Just reach your hand and wiggle the door." And finally, after half an hour of, holding fingers under the door and talking to the little boy, and then the boy could wiggle it hard enough that the door opens and he stops crying. And I thought of the story and how much it feels like sometimes I'm that 2-year-old boy in the dark behind the door, and God is the parent, and I don't know, and I don't speak the language, yet somehow through my faith I can hold on to his fingers under the door. And that gives me peace and gives me calm when I'm weary. And sometimes it's not only through my faith, it's through someone else's faith that the Lord brings alongside of me. And when I was weary and when I was tired, and that person helped me and lifted me up, and that person was God's fingers stuck there under the door, giving me comfort. That is why, my friends, we need each other. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, left us the Holy Spirit, yes, but he also left us his body, the church, all of you here. Not only do we have God with us, but he has given us a people that will be with us. You see, the world promises a hero. All the movies, there's the one hero that charges and solves everything. But God promises us his presence. The world promises us deliverance. But God gives us endurance. Because we have to live day in and day out with whatever we're facing. But God gives us endurance. The world promises us deliverance, but God gives us endurance through his sustaining grace. The world promises us great solo acts, but God promises us his family, the body of Christ. So, all of this is very good, but then somebody is here thinking, "Pastor Shahari, you wasted my time. I'm not weary. Everything is going great for me. You actually brought me down this morning. I was so happy." Well, to that person I say, your time is coming. No, I'm just kidding. No, I wish you God's grace and everything. And I pray that you will continue always like that, that you will not be weary and God's sustaining grace will be always with you. But there are words for you from the scripture, not from me. And it's in Hebrews 13, 1-3. Now, it says in the Bible we should not add to the word of God. So I did not add, I just kind of, I put within parentheses some stuff. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it the way I have it here on my paper. It's Hebrews 13, 1-3 says, "Keep on loving And this is for the people who are not weary here this morning. The Lord tells you, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, if you all agree politically and theologically. No, it does not say that, right? Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget, see, this is how I'm testing if you're listening to me, if you're not sleeping yet. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, because they don't know that they are family yet. No, it does not say that. It just says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Because when you love and help a stranger, something angelic happens. The Spirit of God comes into that situation, and people feel it. Continue to remember those in prison. This is verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison, as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves are suffering. And I tell you what, this is the best definition of empathy that you can ever find. Verse 3, if you wanna define empathy, then here it is again. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is what God has done in Jesus Christ on our behalf. The high priest who can empathize with you, he can empathize with our weaknesses. And now we are to do the same, to feel with our brothers and sisters, and even strangers. Feel with them, suffer with them, as if you are suffering. This changes everything. This will make us a city on a hill, and it will make us light and salt. If you are not weary, do you know somebody who is? If you are not weary, do you know somebody who is? And what are you doing about it? Can you risk sliding your fingers under the door and keeping it there for half an hour, even longer? To reach out to someone who is alone and in the dark? Can you risk that? And for those of us who are weary and tired, here's one thing I would like of you as a pastor. Don't hide yourself so good. Don't buy into that idea that you have to come and put on a face at church. I can speak, I know the pastoral team here, and I tell you that they would like to hear from you. There are many people here who would love to hear from you and pray for you. There's a whole prayer meeting on Wednesday that just prays for people who are weary, who are tired, and they do it diligently every week until they hear from you back that the Lord has taken away that burden. We do a very, very good job of hiding our weariness. And I speak this as a pastor because also maybe the other people who are in ministry here know this, like, you know, you're supposed to always show that you're strong because, you know, you have to, and we hide our feelings, we hide our weariness, we hide our tiredness because we are supposed to be the ones that the people come to, right? So I'm also here, the pastors, if you are weary, find somebody you trust in, somebody who will give you good advice, somebody who will hold your hand, somebody who will pray for you. We are called to be God's hand stuck under the door, helping somebody, lead somebody out from the darkness into the light. Amen. God bless you.